Welcome to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And Cindy has prepared a quiz for me today, haven't you, Cindy?
I have, with all kinds of good questions.
I don't know exactly why I said I suggested that you give me the quiz show approach to Italian wine, but every time we talk about those things and people get a little bit confused, or you get the oddball question in the restaurant, or you have the person in the shop asking the question that's a little bit like they're looking for a life raft to hang on to. So you said, I'm just going to nail you with a whole bunch of questions on Italian wine.
Well, and other things. It's not just going to be limited to Italian wine, Tony. So there's the surprise for today.
Oh, very exciting.
All right, there we go.
The roulette wheel.
I know you're well prepared. You're very knowledgeable. So one of the first questions is, how would you go about reading an Italian wine label? They seem to be a little bit complicated.
They are. They're actually pretty forthcoming. You have two different... the most concise way to get this across. When you see the wine bottles that have that tax label across the top, right?
Mm-hmm.
That means that the wine is from one of the really historically important zones, and there's a bunch of qualifications to make it in one of those zones. For example, a Valpolicella Classico. Valpolicella is one of those sort of ubiquitous names. It's from the northeast, from the Veneto. From the region Valpolicella Classico, not just Valpolicella, the whole area. That's, think Baltimore County,
mm-hmm, right?
as sort of the big area. Valpolicella Classico is the best and heart of the Valpolicella. That is the best growing zone for the grapes that make up that wine. It has to be grapes that are the specified grapes, mostly Corvina, all from that area, and at a certain ripeness level. You know, harvested after a certain date, meaning that the ripeness was, there's an approval committee essentially,
mm-hmm.
and that the wine has been tasted before it was given that tax stamp to say that it meets the basic qualifications of being from that area.
Oh.
So when you see that tax stamp, you go looking on the label for the zone that it's from. When I say zone, I literally mean geographic zone. And there are rules for each of those zones, DOCG rules. Demarcazione origine controllata garantita is what that means, DOCG. And just like in France, there's an AOC that approves agricultural products, including wine. In Italy, there's DOCG, and then a little less strict, it's sort of like the up-and-comers historically, or DOCs.
Okay.
A lot of regions in the south have come to DOC level, but not DOCG yet.
Okay.
Not the complete ridiculous formality of that.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd see on the label that zone, Valpolicella, Classico, and then you would see DOCG on that label. And you would look for the vintage date. And you'd have to know the characteristics of the wines from that place, what's considered to be typical, which is a red wine that's medium to full-bodied, not that tannic. It has a very particular sort of plummy, spicy... almost what you think of as a Christmas pudding kind of aromatic to it.
Mm-hmm. And the name of the house is on there somewhere, and then somewhere it may say the name of the producer, like in France.
Yeah, you would see the name of the...
Henri Bonneau and Sons or something.
It'll say the name of the family oftentimes.
Mm-hmm.
It may say, you know, Giancarlo Pra, which is the name of a wine grower in that zone.
Mm-hmm.
He also produces Suave Classico in the next town over. You would also see the name of, for some producers, you see the name of their estate. If there is, in Montalcino, there's a famous estate for Brunello di Montalcino called Tenute il Greppo. And that the name of the family that's produced that forever is Biondi Santi, but Tenute il Greppo is the name of the farm that it comes from.
Okay.
So when you see, there's a little tip for you. When you see on the label Tenuta, Fattoria, Podere, those are cantina. Those are all different ways of saying it's from the cellar of, the house of, the farm of.
Okay.
You know, but it's, yeah, but that's
good words
that's,
to know. So,
does that help?
Yes, it does, actually, very much so. And, and particularly the DOCG thing and understanding that, having a better understanding of those distinctions. I think not everyone understands that, certainly. And, yes. And what's the distinction in France? It's AOC.
AOC. Okay. And in Spain, it's DO.
Right. So the three countries have that.
In California, they now have, in the West Coast, you see AVAs, American Viticultural Areas.
Okay.
So every place that has any kind of historical tradition growing wine, they start to develop some sort of codification for how the stuff is classified. So there's some predictability.
There you go.
If you say that it's Napa Cabernet, Napa's pretty big. It's like the town of Napa, but there's the entire valley.
Sure.
And there are distinct zones inside of there climactically. So Rutherford Bench versus Oakville versus Mayacamas Range are different AVAs.
So getting back to Italian wine, there's a little bit of a story behind the grape varietal Sangiovese that, you know, you could tell us about, and also just that whole Chianti region, kind of helping to people to understand what the beauty of Chianti is, I think.
Okay. I'm gonna back up even further, because the name of the, you said varietal, and sometimes people understand what varietal is and what and not what varietal is. See, sometimes people, they think the first thing that you have is, let's say, you have a Malbec. So you think, oh, okay, I like Malbec. Where is Malbec from? Right?
Right.
Well, there's a bunch of different
ways.
When it's from France, it's from an area called Cahors, which is the origin of it.
Mm-hmm.
When it's from Argentina in the New World, it's called Malbec. Or if it's grown in California, Washington State, it's called Malbec. You think, well, why is that? We're new to the tradition of planting that grape. We're figuring out where to plant it. These guys planted it for, you know, Malbec has been planted in Cahors since the 3rd century AD. They probably figured out where to plant.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, Malbec in the southwest of France, and it's from Cahors. And then it becomes famous as the wine from Cahors. You know, when you think about it historically, it's a lot harder to transport something. You know, now it's very easy. It's very facile to think, well, I got Cabernet Sauvignon from 14 different places in the world, and we're going to have a tasting. Cabernet Sauvignon at one time was something you saw on the left bank of Bordeaux and pretty much nowhere else.
Okay.
Sangiovese is a grape, like a lot of Italian grapes, that came from originally from Mesopotamia, and that came via the Phoenicians, right?
Mm-hmm.
And almost all of these varieties, and that one's an old cultivar. It's about a 3,500-year-old cultivar.
That's amazing.
And there are 5 or 6 different adaptations of that in different zones. Sangiovese is a grape that you usually see in central Italy, in Tuscany, is where it's most famous, in the Chianti zone, that area between Florence and Siena, right? And even just you said the beauty of Chianti. And Sangio is pretty easy. It means blood and Job, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can, I think the origin, or the name of the grape came along with the Bible story. right around the same time, sort of funny.
It's amazing. It's so fascinating that you know, wine has such a tremendous history.
Well, to me, the interesting thing is the human side of it. Why would they say that? You know, why? Well, because that grape gave a very red-colored, very garnet-colored, you know, garnet to black juice, different from the other grapes around it. That's why we get a nickname. Mm-hmm. I mean, farmers give something a nickname. You know,
sure.
That is sort of its anecdotal name that becomes its formal name, and as history passes and that language changes and that language changes, it becomes this exotic old thing. You know, the southern Italian grape, Aglianico, if you think about it, it almost sounds like the word Hellenic.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally just the old Greek grape.
Very good, yeah.
You know, that's planted in Taurasi, in Erpigna, in the hills above Naples, south of Avellino. Where an awful
Another
lot of
Another beautiful region.
Yeah, where a lot of Italian immigrants came to the U.S. from.
Hmm.
But that's the grape Aglianico. Almost all the grapes that you find in Italy are things that with an origin of Greek names, because the Phoenicians hit there first, in the islands first, and came up from the south through the peninsula. And the grapes migrated north through the peninsula. Even a grape, it's something that's becoming an up-and-comer, Gallioppo. Gallioppo, you think of as a grape from Asia Minor. Just like all the other grapes from Asia Minor, by the way, they all started in Mesopotamia. They all traveled west with the Phoenicians. The cousin of that grape is Madiopo. Madiopo is the grape we know as Syrah. And so it's kind of funny, like, to think of Mesopotamia connected with Shiraz from Australia.
Yeah.
It's literally just humanity's travels, but they all pretty much started the same origin. And you're talking about a grape that, you know, that you see those two and partners, you know, all over the south of Italy, especially in Calabria. And it's interesting to see sort of the path they travel or don't travel. Gallioppo did not travel north and did not adapt to other places. Syrah did.
Okay. So when it comes to, let's say, Pinot Grigio, do people think of that often as being a sweet wine? And is that correct? Is it not correct?
Pinot Grigio and Chianti are sort of like the two intro, it seems like, the two sort of like life raft Italian things to ask for in a wine shop, you know, or to ask for on a wine list. And that often means that someone just generally likes wine of that sort. It may mean that they want something pretty sophisticated in that way. It may mean that they need a bit of a background on it. So a quick Pinot Grigio primer. Pinot Grigio is the same, the gray Pinot is what that means in Italian, is the same grape as Pinot Gris that you see in Alsace. In Alsace, that wine is grown till it's a little bit sweet. So sometimes maybe there's a confusion that that grape is meant to be sweet in Italy. Usually it's till it's dry. The best Pinot Grigio comes from the northeast of Italy, from the Alto Adige, up in the Dolomites. Beautiful place. Honestly, really, really, really good travel value for one of the most beautiful places in the world with great cooking. It's like Germanic organization, Italian relaxation, great views, great
cooler
weather.
Cooler climate, which
also
affects the grape.
I'm not a skier, but I understand amazing skiing as well.
I'm a skier. It is great skiing, I'm sure.
And really, really good wine values. Pinot Grigio from up there can be breathtaking, but it should be bright, fresh, crunchy. It's denser than if you see Pinot Bianco. If you really want something light and pretty from a Pinot grape in a white, and not as if you see Pinot Grigio from up there in the Alto Adige, and you look on the label for Alto Adige, that's the best place to get it from. If you get Pinot Bianco, it's the prettier version. If you get Pinot Grigio from Venezia, in the Veneto, further south, or from Friuli, not as pretty, and a little bit sort of chunkier. That gives you some of the basics of that. Well,
so when we come back, I have more questions for you, Tony, about wine.
Okay, getting warmed up.
Okay, there we go.
On Formula Wolf on Food and Wine.